I'm not a holy person. I'm not anything as to my own ability or my merits, though I diligently try with all of my heart. But one thing I do in trying and with sincerity in the Lord, knowing the sincerity is there, He opens up His good treasures and that of heaven, and He pours the blessings and the love of God into my heart with a regularity. He meets all of my needs. He literally staggers me in meeting my needs financially. In dollars and cents, He meets my needs in such an astounding way. No matter what it is, when it is, how much it is, He meets my financial needs in such a way that I just stagger, stumble a lot of times thinking about it. I'm actually staggered at it. And I get into my room and I cry and I pray and I say, oh my God, how can it be that You so graciously do this and so regular through the years? But He does, for which I'm very thankful. And like I was telling the fellas, we stood a number of years back and I said, we're going to do such and such. We will do it, I said. By faith in God, we will do it. Glad to see Dale coming in. We will do it. I stood X amount of years ago looking as to a vision, as to build, as to do something for the Lord, as to world evangelism. But you don't happen to have the letter from God, or do you? I would like to have read that. I read it to the brethren the other night, or Brother Taylor, some of them did, and I'd like to have read that tonight to give the people some idea of what we're saying. But anyway, I stood and I said, we will do, God will make it right. Won't lose, we'll win. The devil won't snatch anything away, we'll win. And at that time, in spite of what we had done, there was just one bill, I don't know, over $100,000, $150,000, I don't know how much, because like I said, $150,000 over here and $40,000 over there and $35,000 over there and on and on and on, another $50,000 over here and $1,000 over here, another $20,000 or $30,000 over here and on and on and on. I remember numbers of them was $40,000, another $40,000 up there. These things go through my mind. I can remember some of them as they come to me. But $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, $150,000, all of this we had to pay. And one of them was $700 a month. I said, we'll pay it to the last payment. 15 years, we paid it. Stood right to the test by faith in God. He met it by faith. And about $100,000, $150,000, whatever it was. And lacking three payments, finishing it up to pick up the deeds and the titles on that one part of many things that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And helping others, giving to others, providing, sending something to the mission fields, traveling, paying for missionary trips, taking care of leeches to the extent of tearing our stuff up, people that cause confusion, paying for radio time and television time, and on and on, paper and about $20,000 down there for one press. And all those things, see, going on and on. But when I mentioned that in men's meeting, three men that usually are loyal to their commitments, these three men, as a rule, are usually loyal. If they commit, you can just count on it. And they just right off of the reel said, we want to take the last three payments. So I got not confidence in the flesh, but Christ in their life as to their willingness and devotion as to commitment of word. That is paid for. And the $100,000, $150,000, whatever, it's paid for. All I got to do is go buy a debt to and pick up the deeds and all that concerning the church, the land, whatever. Paying for other spots of ground, like I said, while we paid for this particular thing, we paid $40-something thousand dollars for another piece that's paid for out there. And doing that, We did it by faith. We did it because we believed God. We did it because our heart was in the things of God. And we did it because we wanted to have a house of worship and a ground to where people could withdraw from the world and say, this is ours. This belongs to God. And it does. It belongs to you. And we can live happy and nobody can run out here and bother it and take it away from us. And we can say, get off of this land. We don't want the devil on it. And Brother Dale, enjoy it. Enjoy it in the Lord. And say hallelujah when we want to say hallelujah. And to glorify God. See, because we wanted to do something for Jesus. A number of people that love God got in here with us and stood like real men and like real women, carrying a load like an ox plowing a field to help us with numbers of these things, and gave tens of thousands of dollars. A number of people here, a number of people there, and many hundreds of thousands of dollars we had to pay. But God worked it out. God worked it out, and God stood with us. So, I want to read just a little bit from the book of Job, chapter 30. But now, they that are younger than I have me in derision. Job really got upset because the younger men that was coming in, rather than submitting themselves to the ancient and to the leadership and the way of God, they come in and they just turned everything upside down and made a mess out of it until Job got upset. He got so tore up until God burned their fields, raised Job back up and magnified him so greatly and mightily. So as I open to this tonight, not knowing what was going to open unto, it says, but now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have sat with the dogs of my flock. He said, somebody is talking to me and trying to advise me and tell me their opinions and prophecies and what I ought to do. He said, and their fathers I would have disdained. That is, I would have put them out of my sight. I wouldn't have had nothing to do with them. I would have put them down so lowly, I wouldn't even set them with the dogs of my flock. And here comes their children trying to tell me what to do and what's right and what's wrong. Yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished, for want and famine they were solitary, fleeing into the wilderness in former times, desolate and waste, who cut up mallows by the bushes and juniper roots for their meat. They were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a thief, to dwell in the cliffs of the valleys and caves of the earth and in the rocks. Among the bushes they brayed, under the nettles they were gathered together. They were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. And now am I their song, yea, I am their byword. They abhorred me, they flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face. Because he hath loosed my cord and afflicted me. They have also let loose the bridle before me. Upon my right hand rise the youth. They push away my feet. And they rise up against me the ways of their destruction. They mar my path. They set forward my calamity. They help. They have no helper. They came upon me as a wide breaking in of waters. In the desolation, they roll themselves upon me. Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passeth away as a cloud. And now my soul is poured out upon me, and the days of affliction have taken hold upon me. My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and my sinews take no rest. By the great force of my disease is my garment changed. It bindeth me about as the collar of my coat. He hath cast me into the mire, And I am become like dust and ashes. I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. Thou art become cruel to me. With thy strong hand thou opposest thyself against me. Thou liftest me up to the wind. Thou causest me to ride upon it, and dissolvest my substance. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death, and to the house appointed for all living. Howbeit, he will not stretch out his hand to the grave. Though they cry in his destruction, did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? When I looked for good, then evil came unto me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness. My bowels boiled and rested not. The days of affliction prevented me. I went mourning without the sun. I stood up and I cried in the congregation. I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. My skin is black upon me and my bones are burned with heat. My harp also is turned to mourning, and my organ into the voice of them that weep. Now, I just want to comment just a few minutes on that, because I didn't preach to you here in exhortation. Job, with all of this, in ending his words, you know, a lot of people, they get all confused. And they get mixed up in their doctrines, and they talk about Christ coming and the Lord coming, and some of them get real carnal looking for the Lord. And others, they get into a place or in a position to where they get all confused, and they talk about Christ coming, and they get to where they don't believe that there is a Jesus that's actually coming back in a human body, and they get mixed up in their doctrine, and they get people mixed up in their doctrine, and to and fro they go, causing problems. But Job here, in ending all of his problems, he said, though the skin worms devour my body, he said, yet in my flesh I'm going to see the Lord. He said, for the Lord is going to stand in the last day. He said, the Lord is going to stand, and I'm going to see him for myself. And not for another, but I'm going to see him myself. Doesn't matter if I die. Doesn't matter if the skin worms get me. Doesn't matter if they throw me into a hole. Doesn't matter if my enemies triumph over me. He said, I'm going to raise up out of that hole and out of that grave, and I'm going to see my Maker, and I'm going to see my Creator. He said, I'm going to see him in the last day, not some mystic Christ that's going to be in my heart. I'm going to see the nail prints, and I'm going to see where the thorns pierce, and I'm going to see him standing there, he said, in the flesh, in a human body, and said, my Lord shall stand upon this earth in the last day, in the latter time, and I'll stand there with him, and we'll see face to face. See, somebody said, well, he ain't coming back like that. Job said, he is coming back like that. Job said, there is a human body. There is a head to the church. There is a Jesus. There is one with nails in his hands and thorns, the place where the thorns pierce. There is one that is the Son of David, that is the King of the Hebrews, and the King of the people, and the King of all the world. There is one, a man, something that you can look at, flesh and bones. Paul said, I'm flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And there's a man that you can look at that's going to walk up and sit down on a throne and stand on this earth, this very earth out here, not another earth, but on this very earth out here. He's going to stand there, and you're going to see him. It's not going to be brother such and such and the brother over here and the brother whoever it might be. It ain't going to be that. Great evangelist and great this and that. It's going to be the Son of God himself. He's going to stand there, the man, the flesh and bones. He's going to stand there, the one that was crucified for me and crucified for you, the one that died for you and I. He's going to be there, folks. He's going to be there, and ain't nobody going to take his place. And ain't nobody going to be lifted up, old or young, yesterday or tomorrow, whoever he might be. There ain't going to be none of them. It's going to be him. And the Bible said, in that day, he alone shall be exalted. He alone shall be magnified. He alone shall be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He alone shall reign and rule throughout eternity. And that's why we preach Jesus. And that's why we preach the love of God. And that's why we preach the divine revelation of the revealing of the Christ, which is that Jesus that is personified in you and I as to the measure that we will submit ourselves to be. And pointing you to the full measure of the full stature, Jesus Christ, even the fullness of God, in whom we are complete. For the Bible said we are complete in Him. As to these things. So then Job said, I'm having a hard way to go. God is putting me through the fire. But then was it Job? If you read here, it speaks of him that has smitten me. And him that has bruised me. And if you look, you'll find it's the Holy Spirit, through prophetical utterance of the sufferings of Job, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that the Lord Jesus suffered, and how that Jesus was smitten, and the sorrows of Jesus, and how that God turned His wrath on Jesus. This is the life of Christ being projected in Job. Like Paul said, through all of my sufferings, he said, for it pleased God that God should reveal His Son in my life through the sufferings and all these many things. So then it pleased God that Job, that Christ should be revealed in a prophetical way through the sufferings. God pleased to do this through Job. And through David of old and many others that suffered. So then we see here that Job said, all of these that are surrounding me, all of these that do these things, that cause me to be in derision, all of the youth that rise up against me. You know, we have a lot of problem here at Bethlehem. One youth goes over here and he causes problems. Another goes downtown. He causes problems. One gets on the campground. He curses and snorts. He dresses like he wants to. He does the things he wants to. He says what he wants to. See, and all over the place they close in and spin their wheels. And if I didn't rise up and have faith and pray, they would completely swallow this thing up. Because of their foolishness, because of their evil, because of exalting themselves, because of raising themselves up and dividing the congregation and getting everything in a mess and split up like splinters. And see others wandering after those things because they are sick sheep. People who leave the shepherd to wander after those things are sick sheep. Sheep don't leave a shepherd unless they're sick. They wander after the things of the world and the people in the world. And some of them that comes in here that tries to tell me how to run this thing. And they come in here with their foolishness and find people coming in, strange people. People that I've convinced of the Lord Jesus. And I've got their minds in the things of God. And somebody comes in and says, bless God, everything here is confusing. Everything here is wasted. Money is wasted. And I think you speak like a fool in the face and in the presence of somebody that I'm trying to lead to God. And you're the one that's wasting. And you're the one that's foolish. And you're the one that's causing the problems. And I have so many people coming in here like that. And especially among the young ones that come in that have their own ideas about things. See, and they come in and I have other men that's labored through the years like an ox. And they point their finger at them and they put them down and they tell them this and that. And they wasted their life. And they jump up and say everything is naught, naught, naught. You know, and they say, look at me, look at me. I'm the one. They have nothing but foolishness. And everybody gets blown to the wind. And they get their revelation and they get their idea. And they start exalting themselves and they feel like this is that way and that's that way. And like a bunch of fools running every direction. See, but people who love God pray. And people who love God fast. And people who love God consider. And people who are wise look well to their going. And ponder the path of their feet. And they count the cost. And they stay with the Word of God and with the understanding of God. And they look beyond the veil, realizing that that is where life is. And all of this other is a bunch of zeal and foolishness. As to somebody to project themselves, tell me something, folks. What good is it for a preacher, for an evangelist, for a person, or even a dignitary of the world, or anybody else to project themselves. Don't they all go down into the hole? Don't they throw dirt in their face? Look at the great Daniel Boone, the great Buffalo Bill. Look at the great George Washington. Look at the great Abraham Lincoln. Look at the great, if you can call it great, Elvis Presley. And the great entertainers and the great people that's produced great movies and all of these things. Great preachers. Look at them. Where are they at? They're in a hole. Would you like to visit with them? They're in a hole. Look at the great woman that raised up in California, the great Amy McPherson. Look at her. Where is she today? In a hole. Dirt in the face. What does she amount to? Nothing. Nothing. Even her following is painted up like Jezebel's. I preached in the church of the Four Square Gospel. Fine people, but blind as they can be. See, where is she at? In a hole. Famous? Great? Where are they at? They're in a hole. Look at Brother Branham, one of the greatest that I know of. Where is he at? He's in a hole. Look at Elisha, a double potion. Where is he at? He's in a hole. Look at Abraham. Where is he at? In a hole. Look at Mary, the mother of the Lord, in a hole. Come on, folks. Where is their greatness? There's no greatness about them. See what it was? If they'd been great, they never went to a hole. You know where the greatness was? It was God in their life. And God in their heart. And as to them, all of them went astray. There was none of them righteous. No, not one of them good. God laid upon Christ Jesus the iniquity of us all, who was made sin, even our sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, it was Christ that was great in them. Are they great? Were they great? Great and mighty men. Great, but it was because God was in him. As to John, great and mighty, not a greater among men. But nevertheless, he that's fumbling and floundering around, just as a little babe in Christ, is greater than John. The righteousness be of God, because the Holy Ghost, how do you know the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ? The Holy Ghost lived in them, or was upon them, or was with them, but in the little ones of Christ's body, living there. Born to that spirit, greater, because God is the one that's great. So then, as to the greatness of Job, as to the righteousness of Job, that's what it's all about. See, as to your greatness, why do you as a preacher, why would I as a preacher, why would you as somebody that's fascinated by your face and by your body, have to think yourself to be something in your own eyes? Why do you do what you do, knowing that you're nothing but skin worms, food for the skin worms? And Job said, my skin worms, nothing but skin worms. Knowing that you're going to be thrown in a hole and stink and rot. Knowing that. Paul said, corruptible flesh. Why would you do anything but try to please God? Blend in with the move of God. Find the way of God. Find the mind of God. Be something for God. Let God use you, so that you can be raised up in the last day, as Job said, and stand upon the earth and see the man that was raised up out of the dirt. See him standing there and say, oh my God, that's a real resurrection. There he is. And of course you stand there with him. See and be one with him, to blend in with him, to do his will. I didn't start in this thing, folks, to be famous. I said the other day, if I'd have done, going to do that, I'd took another route. I'd went with the things of the world. But I was struck down. I was struck down. You understand what I'm saying? I was struck down like Paul was. I wasn't headed in this direction. I wasn't looking in this direction. I wasn't thinking in this direction. I had my mind on the world and the things of the world and was going as hard as I could go. And God struck me down. Not in a little way. He struck me down. Sometimes I think he struck me down worse than Paul as the striking. Even though I say this, he didn't make me blind as far as natural sight. But the thing that I went through when he struck me down was so terrible that I don't even read where Paul went through it. Even though after he lined Paul up, Paul went through such suffering that there's very few men that ever experienced that. But he struck me down and he turned me around. And I come into this because he turned me around, not for fame and popularity, and come into this thing to try to know a lot. He called me to the ministry. He turned me around. He sent me to preach the gospel. And he's provided the way across the world. And he's provided the way here. And even when the angel of the Lord appeared to me in Miami, Florida, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But lo, I'll be with you in the time of trouble and in the time of need. And he has been with me. God has stood by me. He's revealed his love to me as he did Paul after striking Paul down. He's given me the revelation of the Son of God as he did Paul when he struck Paul down. See, so why would we want to be contrary to the move of God as they were with Jesus, as they were with Job, as they were with Paul? Why would we want to be contrary to the great mighty move of God? See, it's like this, folks. There ain't but one church. There ain't but one faith. There ain't but one God. There ain't but one baptism. And I said this to the brethren the other night. I want to repeat it here. There is but one foundation. God himself in a human body laid that foundation. And that foundation is the apostolic leaders of the 12 apostles. Even the one of Matthias, the one that replaced Judas. Including him as a foundation. 12 foundations. And the Bible said Abraham looked for a city that hath foundations. And the names of these apostles was in that foundation. It was the only foundation. There wasn't another. And the Bible said other foundations can no man lay except this foundation. And those apostles preached in the second chapter of Acts to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, which was called the doctrine of Christ. And the Bible says that foundation gathered itself together, set up the doctrine of Christ. And the Bible said 3,000 was added to the church as to the only church built on that foundation. And the Bible said, and they that followed continued steadfastly in that doctrine, in the apostolic doctrine. That was the only church. There is no other church. There never has been. There never will be. Not only that, they continued on that foundation. And from that foundation, come the great walls of that great city that Paul called the city of God that Abraham searched for. There ain't no more foundations. You can't start another move. You can't start another church. God has never had but one. All of these boys, it's an evangelistic work. And these great evangelists and great moves of God. Those men out there, they've got split off. They've gone from the tree. They've gone from the foundation. That's why most of them preach Trinity. That's why most of them preach three gods. That's why most of them don't baptize in Jesus' name. Because they've all left the foundation. They've got their own foundations. And they've got their own thing going. But the church has, like Job, survived the crisis. The body of Jesus has come through the skin worms. Come on down. And God said, I will restore the years that the cankerworm has gotten and the years that the locust has gotten as coming through the dark age. And God brought it right on down. Brought it right on down. Coming right on down through the dark age. God has brought the church, and it's still here today. The same church, the same God, the same foundation. And you know where the problem is? Men that don't want to hear it won't stay in church to listen. Men that don't want to hear it, that go in error, won't come to the church to hear it. And men that don't want it go out and start their own thing. And they pull for money, and they want fame, and they want popularity, and they cause a problem, and they make a mess because they don't want to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. They don't listen to somebody that God has raised up to preach the gospel. They do their own thing and make a mess out of it. So there's but one God. There's but one foundation. Other foundations can no man lay. The Bible said, take heed now, Brother Pike and all you other preachers and whoever you might be. Take heed how you build on this foundation. Said, because if you build hay and stubble on it, God's going to burn that. And the day is going to try your works. Try your works. There is but one foundation. And if you mess around with this thing, Brother Pike, or anybody else, God's going to burn your fields. This is the only foundation, which is the Word of God. 3,000 was added unto it. No one ever laid another foundation for a church for God. That's the only one. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Paul being that chief cornerstone to the extent that he was caught up to the third heaven to be up here the overseer over this foundation and over all of these lively stones that are to be laid upon this foundation. Paul oversighting it, being up into third heaven, looking down on it, saw this wonderful thing as the revelation of the Son of God. And as it was with Moses that received the blueprint, Paul said, I am a wise master builder. And building these lively stones, you and I building these lively stones upon this foundation up into a holy priesthood, even unto Christ. Paul said, it's Christ and not me. That is to say, the capstone. And Paul said, Christ living and not me. So then there's but one foundation, there's but one church. There never has been another, and there never will be another. All of these other things that have split off of it are those things that have gone into perversion. Unless it is a branch that come off of the tree of life that reaches out here that gives fruit to the people that is rooted in the things of God. Even Paul and the other great apostles, they went back to Pentecost. Day after day, they preached and they went out. They had great ministries. They returned back to Pentecost to have the discussion and to come together. Why did they do that? Because that was the foundation. Paul couldn't lay another foundation. No one else could lay another foundation. They all come back to the Pentecostal experience and back to Pentecost at certain times to testify and to witness and to fellowship on the foundation that God had laid because there wasn't another foundation. So, as I said the other night, about 325 A.D., when the Catholic Church come in, that is to say the Roman powers come in, and that paganistic church changed to the papal church after the deadly wound, then came the paganistic practices of old Babylon and all of the mystic things of evil. And then came the Trinitarian preaching. And from that, Martin Luther sprang out in the latter times of the Protestant movement and all of these other Trinitarian things. And all of these people have sprang out from it. See, leaving the foundation. But brothers and sisters, God is going to call them out. God is going to bring them down like He did the PTL and the 700 Club and all these other things that He's brought down, that He's bringing down. God's going to bring them down. The Jim Joneses and whatever, God's going to bring them down. False religions and whatever. And the Bible said God will continue until righteousness be exalted in the earth. Righteousness and the kingdom of God. The right thing shall be exalted in the earth. God is going to make it come to pass. Peace will be in the earth. He's going to win out. See, that one foundation. Other foundations can no man lay except this which is laid of Christ Jesus. Job's body being typical of the church. Going through the ridicule, going through those things that were evil, the age-old foundation or the church of the living God survived the crisis. With all the modernism and with all the new things coming in and with all of the youth rising up, he still appears at the end of the trail as the Ancient of Days, his hair as white as wool and his voice like many waters and like the thunders and the lightnings. He still stands there as the great, mighty Ancient of Days, the great, mighty life that has given youth and strength and happiness, and the great God that has given wisdom that has survived the youthful generations of the devilish things and intentions that they've got as to adultery and fornication and lying and cheating and what they call understanding education or science, falsely so-called, and all of their days of modernism and all of their foolishness. And the Ancient of Days passed right through it and stands over here with true youth and true life and true happiness and true strength and true wisdom as to reinstate and refurbish and to bring the earth back to its originality of the garden and the wonderful things of God. So then on and on and on it goes. And this great caravan keeps on rolling along. And this great anvil keeps wearing the hammers out. And it keeps surviving. So then, I say that to you because if you can't coordinate, if you can't get in this one church, if you can't get on this one foundation, then you are a cult. And you are cut off. And you are a limb that's withered. And you don't have anything. I don't care how glamorous your ministry is, or how glamorous your way of life is, or what kind of individual you are, as an entertainer, or as a preacher, or as some wealthy person, or whatever you might sparkle to look like. In your gifts or prophecies or whatever, you still are of the devil, and you're cut off, and you are a cult, and you have no part and a lot in this matter, and your heart isn't right with God. So then that means that we've got something. God has given us something, and we've got something, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes. There's the foundation, a great city. I've discovered it. Abraham discovered it. I found it. Abraham discovered it to the extent that he became the friend of God and gave his only begotten son. Or gave his only son. God didn't take him, but he gave him. And Abraham discovered it to that extent. But Abraham never did live to see what I see. See, and I see something. Though he's Father Abraham, great, mighty Father Abraham, but he never saw in the spiritual things in his day what I see. So, you're seeing something far greater than Abraham. And Jesus said, you are seeing things that great men like Abraham and Elijah desired to see. Other men desired to see it. So you're seeing the kingdom of God itself come into power. Jesus said on one occasion, said, not many days hence you'll see the kingdom of God with power. And they saw the kingdom of God. See, we're seeing the kingdom of God, and we're living in the age of the kingdom of God, not as to the manifestation as being set upon the earth, but as to the inward Christ and the kingdom of God within that we're seeing through eyes of understanding, and working toward the redemption of the earth and the body to make this thing manifest upon the earth. I know you don't understand. I know you don't. And I know that many of you don't have it, and you that do have it, many of you don't understand. You're like little babies. Because these things are so full and so wonderful and so great that they literally cause you to be in such a state of ecstasy that you are exuberant as to crossing over into another world and having such a thing as to your cup running over. So I know that with your depressed feeling in the flesh and your depleted way of doing and actions, you don't see it. You haven't got it. You haven't got a hold of it, even though some of you may have it. As a babe on the in Christ, you've not developed into it. But folks, I'll tell you one thing. It's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. I'll tell you that. If you ever come into it, it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. Now, I want you to know something. I've come into it. Not a guess. Like I told Dale today, I said, Dale, I don't have to guess to tell you what your future is. I said, I know what your future is. I don't have to guess to tell you what your past has been. And I don't have to guess as to tell you why you're here and what's happening to you right now. I said, I know exactly what it is because God made me to know. Not of my merits or my goodness, but it's for sure that I know. God gave it to me. He told me, and Dale was fully convinced when I talked with him. See, the Lord knows. Like walking up yesterday, I believe it was, coming out of the multipurpose building, walking up the steps. As we come up the steps, walking up the steps, and somebody come up behind me, and I perceived that they walked up close to me. And just not really thinking, you'll do this sometimes. I said, no, that ain't it. I can't remember the terms I used. I said, no, that ain't it. Didn't have nothing to do with it. Had nothing to do with you at all. I said, ain't nothing. Had nothing to do with it. And the man looked at me. I know he wondered. You know, he could probably thought, what in the world is wrong with him? But I said, that ain't the way it is. I said, that ain't got nothing to do with it. I said, but this is the way it is. And then the man realized that, like Jesus said, we perceived his thoughts in our spirit, that we knew what his heart had and his thoughts and what he was thinking and what he wanted to say. And we knew that he was going to come around here and going to ask us something and say something to it. He knew what it was. And when we got to the top of the steps, I said, I'm sorry to the extent, I didn't mean to do anything foolish. The Bible said a man is not wise that answereth a matter before he hears it. I said, but really, I had already heard it. I heard it from the Spirit. I heard it in the Spirit. I heard what was being said and knowed what was being said, so I didn't foolishly answer. And he was so happy because he knew that I did, and he knew that's what it was. And when I explained it, he was so happy. See, but the thing is, I said that to say this. We got another world, Brother Dale. We got another place. We got another mind. We're not guessing. We're not playing some kind of game. We've got another world. We've got another mind. We've got a great place of happiness and exhilaration, a place of loveliness, a place that we can live and abide and walk and talk in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So it's so wonderful to be a Christian, and I talk to you like this. Why not get together with God? Why not get together with a minister? Why not be single in your eye? Stop this foolishness. Why not be one church, one body, one mind is on the day of Pentecost, one drive, one effort, and get in there and do something? Otherwise, you are nothing. You're cut off and you'll wither up, and men will pick you up, put you in a box, and they'll throw you in the hole so that you can be burned. So then why not get together? Let God bring this thing together to the lovely Son of God, to the head of the church. Cause this mind to be in you that was in Christ Jesus, and move every member together toward that head, to where the coming of the Son of God can be, and to where we can do the things that God has commanded us to do. On this foundation, there is no other foundation. This is the only foundation, and other foundations can no man lay. So then, they built on that foundation. The church has always been on that foundation. The church still today is on that foundation. And when God gets through all of this other that you think to be the church, all these evangelists, all of these things will be exactly like PTL. I made a statement years ago, all of them would fall, all of them would fold up, all of them would go out, and they've done it. One pastor has done this, and another preacher has done that, and a half a dozen preachers has done this, and PATTL has done this, and another has done that, and on and on and on, because that is only a reflector. It is a reflector, and it will fall, and it will crumble up, and God will set it on fire. But this church, of this foundation and of this doctrine, will never fall. The Bible said, they that do these things shall never fall. They shall never fall. Never shall they be overthrown. They keep themselves, and the evil one toucheth them not. Well, God has perfected forever these that are on that foundation. Our righteousness is of God. No one can lay anything to the charge, because we're his elect. All right, let's stand together. Sons and daughters of God, that's what we are. On this foundation, God tore Babylon down. They're rebuilding it. But God tore the Tower of Babylon down, because it was going up as to a personification, as the Pyramid of Egypt, toward the star that has to do with the dragon. But this beautiful monument is being raised up toward the wonderful day star, as to him dawning within your heart, and as to that wonderful principle one, as to the revelator, even the Lord Jesus Christ, projected as Paul in the early church, as to this one great monumental thing, the revelation of the Son of God, the all-seeing eye. Things are happening. Many things that we would like to see in Revelation. Many, many things. But it takes about this long to correlate minds to get them to where we can get to Revelation. And by that time, people are hot and miserable and ready to go. And they've had about all that they can take. Whereas it is so beautiful, so lovely, as the wonderful mind of Almighty God opens up and we look into those wonderful treasures. Let's sing a little chorus together. And this is the truth, folks. I claim Jesus first of all, and He will answer when I call, for I know I am the child, the son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Can you sing it with me? I claim Jesus first of all, and He will answer when I call. For I know I am the child, the son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Sing it with me again. I claim Jesus first of all, and He will answer when I call. For I know I am the child, the son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to worship the Lord with me for just a minute. The altars are open, and if you feel like coming, well, just come right on down, because Jesus loves you and He wants to do something for you. Folks, you've got a chance to be eternally young forever. You've got a chance to be eternally alive forever. You've got a chance to be eternally rich forever, to be filled with the splendor and the magnificence and the brightness, outshining the noonday sun. And all of the world shall come to look upon your brightness. That's what the Lord said. All of the world, you will be so bright. What kind of brightness is this? And the Queen of Sheba came from afar to hear the wisdom of Solomon saying, and the half has never yet been told. This great brightness of your shining as to your throne, as to your greatness, this great shining is your wisdom, your understanding. The great light in which Jesus dwelt was that great light of understanding. That great, wonderful understanding. And the Bible said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might comprehend the depth, the height, the width, the greatness of all of these wonderful things. Folks, don't you want to have a part in that? Don't you want that? Many of you are very young, healthy, strong, 12 years old, 13 years old, 18 years old, 25 years old. But one day they're going to put you in a hole. They're going to dig a hole. Might do it before you ever turn 30. Might do it to some before you ever turn 15, 20. See, and they're going to put you in a hole. But Paul said there's a mystery. We'll not all sleep. God hath no pleasure in death. Isn't that right? How do you know God hath no pleasure in death? Hallelujah. He said, I'm the Prince of Life. Don't you feel alive? I feel alive. I really do. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a hand. I feel alive. I hope you feel alive, because I feel alive. I feel like a great river of life is flowing on the inside of me. And I feel a strength, and I feel a jubilance, and I feel alive. Something that's strong and alive on the inside of me. Something that says, live forever. Live forever. Hallelujah. Don't you want to live forever? Something on the inside is crying out, live, son, live. It's my pleasure for you to live. Hallelujah. That makes me feel good. Don't it make you feel good, Dale? Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a wonderful thought. See, everything is getting closer, closer, closer. The coming of the Lord, that great Spirit. That's why we need to know Revelation so much. That's why we need to understand Revelation and have Revelation detailed to us so that we can see and understand exactly what's falling in place in this life and this kingdom and the things that God's doing and what He would have us to be, not just for a day, but for eternity. You love the Lord? God is so good, isn't He? He's so good. Do you feel like you're God's own? The highest honor on this earth? I claim Jesus first of all. That's enough for me. To seek ye the kingdom first. Let's sing another little chorus, can't we? I love Him. I love Him. Oh, because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary. Can you sing it with me again? I love Him. Salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is. Sing it again. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I know it's kind of warm, but we're going to sing another song too. Is that all right? There's nations that's breaking, and Israel awakening. It's the signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days number with our rules encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold. For the day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed clear. Look up. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hot, sweaty, tired, but say, praise the Lord. Oh, the day of redemption. Hallelujah. I feel that, don't you?
Glory to God, I feel it.
for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption. Can't you just feel that strength? Can't you feel that strength just flowing through your body? Not talking about make-believe now. Can't you feel that strength? I'm talking about strength that you can feel in this body right here. Not just spiritual strength, even though, as Paul said, being strengthened by the Spirit and the might of the inner man. Can't you feel that strength that he gives this body? Sing it again, can you? Oh, the day of redemption, it's here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. I'm glad Jesus considered this body, ain't you? I'm glad, Brother Dale, God considered the body. A lot of people are tired and they're weary and they suffer and there's pain and there's misery. God gave us this body, so why not consider this body? Isn't that right?
Amen.
To make us strong and healthy and happy. Isn't that one part of the blessing of God? The threefold blessings of Christ. The physical.
Hallelujah.
See, God wants us to have it all. The three minds. You can't listen to the wrong mind, folks. If you listen to the mind of Satan, your body will decay. Because the curse is upon Satan. And wherever he finds a dwelling place or a lodging place, then deterioration sets in. You can't listen to that mind. That mind is abased. That mind is degraded. That mind is unbelief. That mind is distorted. That mind is a gossiping, tale-bearing, a froward way. You can't listen to that. You can't do that. That's a mind of covetousness and lust. So you don't want to give your brain to that. In the mind of necessity, I say so often, you must have that. You don't have to fear that. Just don't let Satan overinflate it. It is a mind of moderation. Not an evil mind. And yet it's not a heavenly mind. It's a mind of necessity. To eat, to drink, to walk, to sleep, to live, to dress, to go, to do, as to whatever is necessary to sustain life. But folks, let that heavenly mind, that mind of Christ, let it be interwoven with your mind, and you forsake all of your thoughts till it's not you living but the mind of Christ that's using your brain. And then comes peace. And then comes happiness. And then comes eternal life. And then comes preservation of your body. Then comes strength. Then comes glory. Then comes joy. Unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. And filled with glory. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. It works. It works. Let's sing another chorus, can we? Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ the Father, in the Son, for it's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. Our hope is to
Him. Oh, let thy will be done.
Can you sing this little chorus? Give me another key, sister.
Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me, changing me. Oh, it's changing me, changing me. Light of the glory of His unveiled face, it's that glory that is changing me.
Let's lift our hands up and love Him. While we're standing together, our hands lifted up and our concern toward the Lord Jesus. Let's thank Him. Tonight I wanted to get somebody to preach. I had in mind to get somebody to preach. I thought, sure, I'll just get somebody to preach. But before I realized it, I had opened the Bible and started reading, and then I caught myself. But I thought, well, Lord, if that's what You want, that's what I'll do. I'll just talk to Him a little bit and exhort Him a little bit. There's a real God, folks, and He has His way. A real, genuine God, and He has His way. So then, God having had His way, that we've said a few things toward the exhortation of your heart and soul. And I trust that you'll take it to heart. And let's get in and do something for God. Don't be foolish, folks. Brother Pike isn't going to bother you as to what you do. But I'm telling you so that you'll understand. Many things I'd like to say to you, Jesus said, but the ears are dull of hearing. And so I just keep on exhorting night after night, looking for one night where there might be a break and there might be a moving and a troubling of the waters to where we can bring out some revelational truths as to what's happening right now. And sometimes we don't get to bring these out. I bypass the congregation to the extent that we just don't find the night, and maybe numbers of days go by. And after these days has gone by, then it seems too late to bring it, because it isn't the present day truth as to that moment. It's already in the past. And many of the things that I would have said is already back there. So I might just drop back and touch a little of it to tie some of it in. And we miss it. But it'd be so beautiful if we just continued day after day, and just with all of the moving as it went by every day, getting that manna fresh from heaven, while God is leading us through the wilderness of that old intellectual wandering of trying to find our bearing, and just keeping our eyes right on Jesus, going right on over the Jordan into Canaan land with the grapes of Eshcolar, and the land flows with milk and honey. Many of you rode across the natural part of that not too long ago, down in Canaan and around. What a beautiful thing. While you've got your hands lifted up, got your eyes closed, I wonder if Dale could make his way up here and close the meeting for us tonight with prayer. Appreciate Dale coming over. He travels a good long ways just to be here with us and inspire me and encourage me and the others. And I appreciate his efforts, his determination, his faith, and his perseverance. I really admire it. And tonight, while Dale's praying with you, let Dale pray for you, body, soul, and spirit. Paul said, I'd like to present you, body, soul, and spirit, blameless before God. Let me say this to you right quick while you've got your hands up, your eyes closed. I wish that we'd had the letter from God, or God brings it back to my mind. We're seemingly on the verge of going to have a revival through the African continent, maybe beginning in Egypt. But a letter came in, and the letter was from Ambassadors for Christ, with their college and their school and their operation and their ministries. It's been registered for quite a number of years. And they got a hold of some of our books, especially one on the time fulfilled, and some of our literature. And though this man has been a minister for a number of years, and though they have an organization and an established work credited by the government, this hit him so hard until he wrote a letter and said everything they had was being changed into the eternal abundant life, name and work. And he said, like the songwriter said, Brother Pike, he said, after reading the book on the time is fulfilled and those things, said what he recognized in God, he said, I surrender, Brother Pike, I surrender all. All I surrender. He said, everything that we've got, said, I surrender. Said, I surrender. And we want the literature for our school and whatever. And we want the message for our people. And we want you to come to guide us and lead us and teach us into this wonderful thing of whatever it was, as he expressed it. And we get numbers of letters that are similar to this. But he just outright wanted us to know that he was overwhelmed. See, you've got a great responsibility, folks. You've come to a great level, a great place. And the Bible said that it's spoken of throughout the world. India and Africa and around the world. Israel, Egypt. So then, we're thankful. I'm glad to have Brother Jimmy Kirk here with us tonight. Jim's here. I saw Jonathan over here. He's here for a few days with us. And we're so glad to have Jimmy. One of the great pillars that has contributed to the cause of Jesus as to making this ministry successful around the world and giving the children a home here. I praise God for it. And now he's trying to do a work over in the areas of Mississippi. We'll be over there with him some, if the Lord's will. We'll be down in Eupora for about 3 nights. Eupora, Mississippi. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. We had a good time under the tent. Over in Canton, Georgia for a couple of nights with Brother Reagan. And the Lord has been good to us. We had a good time in Israel. So, pray with us. Believe with us. As Dale comes to pray with you, search your hearts. And the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. For many shall turn away from the faith, having personal zeal, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. But you search and see if you're in the faith that cometh by the hearing of the word. Believe the word when Brother Pike preaches it to you. Brother Jim and Brother Dale and the others, when they preach it to you, believe the word. Believe the word. And as Brother Branham said so many times, stay with the word. Stay with the word. Don't follow after Brother Branham. Don't follow after Brother Pike. Don't follow after Brother Roberts. Don't follow after Brother Swaggart. Don't follow after PTL thing, Jim Baker. Don't follow after the Baptist. Don't follow after the Methodist. Don't follow after anybody except Christ. He is your example. And as each one of us preaches the word, follow the word, stay with the word. And if there's a great measure in any man's heart, stay with that measure. Stay with it until you come to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, under which you are ordained. And don't vary, don't deviate. Stay with the Word. Love the man of God, the women of God, as brothers and sisters with all purity. Esteem them worthy of honor and double honor, because they are laborers in the gospel. But keep your eyes on Jesus, and He'll calm the troubled waters of your soul.
All right.